out now. Time wisely. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm struggling because the sun's going down and the lighting's all messed up. But it is 7 o'clock on a Monday night. And if that's true and my screen's as fuzzy, wow, this is really bad. That means you have yikes found the geek spot. Thank you for, wow, this is just,
yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Look, man.
And if you're listening after the fact and want to see everything you're missing, don't forget, you can find us on Facebook every Monday at 7. You can also find us on twitch.tv at Gimzak. Oh, you kind of fixed it. Stop moving. Yeah, you moved again.
No, fuck it. Whatever. I just got to share it too. Hey, how about, listen to what Jack was saying.
Yeah, so you can find us all those places. Hey, we have a group on Facebook if you haven't joined yet. You found the geek spot.
Did I join the group yet?
I don't know if you joined the group yet, Frank.
I thought I did.
But the more the merrier. A little easier to see updates from us in a group than it is just right on the Facebook page. So please check that out. It should be pinned right on the top of the page or groups associated with it.
Yeah.
And
the book face isn't real friendly with groups as much as they used to be.
Yeah, no. So, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. I know I watched a ton of stuff over the weekend. Oh, a nice good family weekend. I got to say happy birthday to my mom. She turned 80 yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday, Mom. Where's my hat?
So don't worry about it. You got your hat. It's the headphones.
Happy birthday to Jack's mom.
So did some of that. Managed to cram in a bunch of TV this weekend, too. Invincible came out on Amazon Prime this week.
It did. I have a cast list for that.
The cast list is amazing.
Yep.
From the mind of Robert Kirkman,
yes,
who a lot of people know from The Walking Dead. This was actually a comic book, the first comic book he did for Image. Before The Walking Dead, he did Invincible. They had about 100 plus issues, ran for a little over 10 years there with Image. So this is that story. It's kind of a dark superhero story, but we'll get more into that once we get to the cast list that Frank has. And we have some other stuff came out this weekend. Since it was a family weekend, I managed to watch Yes Day. If you don't have kids and you are half intelligent, I do not recommend watching this show.
Really?
No, it was rough. Jennifer Garner's fine.
I like her.
But she uses some of her skills she learned in Elektra and whatever the other one where she killed people was. Was that Salt, maybe? Sugar, no, cinnamon, spice?
No, wasn't that Alias?
Alias, but then she had another movie like a year or two ago.
Salt, sugar,
it was called spice? Something. Yeah,
it was all another.
She was just in another movie where she had one of those one word names. But yeah, it was. I don't know. It was not great.
I'm gonna keep adjusting.
It was a fine family movie though. The kids loved it, which is the important part, right?
Yeah, what else? So that's what you did this weekend? I'm definitely going to...
I did that. I watched Nailed It. If you haven't watched Nailed It yet, it's super fun. It's a cake show. Little off-brand, but it's a cake show.
Cake?
Yeah. It's like the your top chef for baking, except for it's like Joe Schmo off the street trying to remake these huge masterpiece cakes. And they have like a half hour or an hour and a half to do it, and they don't.
No,
but you get to see what it looks like at the end and how it tastes.
Oh, well,
that's Nicole Byers, so she's fantastic.
Oh,
if you're done playing with your knobs,
it's the lighting thing is the worst.
And
right
joystick,
now.
Whatever it is that you're playing with there.
It's the light. It's the ring light, and because the sun's going down and it's hitting the window, it's really wreaking havoc with my. Yeah.
Oh, you're good right now. Don't move. Don't move. Stop moving.
Stay like this until I
feel like you're going to move again.
I'm definitely going to move. I fidget a lot.
Yeah.
I got a new computer. I was very excited.
Awesome.
Yeah. I went over friend's house Friday night, and we played a little Cards Against Humanity.
Okay.
And then what Ray did was Ray brought his acoustic gig speaker into the living room and a microphone.
Oh.
And Ange and I YouTubed karaoke videos, and spent the next several hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times did you sing Africa, Frank?
Twice.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, the movie was named Peppermint with Jennifer Garner.
Oh,
I was
okay.
Trying to think of. So I was close.
You were.
With the one word, spices.
One of the songs that you did not ask how many times I sang was Billy Don't Lose My Number.
No, I didn't. I didn't know that was part of your repertoire. How many times was that, Frank?
That was just once, but it is now part of the repertoire.
Oh, good.
Yes. It was, Greatest Love of All was done well.
Was it?
Well, I mean, well, it's subjective, isn't it?
Let's just say it was done. I bet that's probably a safe statement.
It definitely, God, I really am going to throw this ring light. Maybe I'll change. No, we'll stay.
Yeah.
All right. I always look good.
Sepia Thank tones. You. You're getting sepia tones. It's good.
Yes, I am. I'm going to have to block that window because by the time we get finished, it'll be all nice and well.
Great.
All right. It does look like there's a swarm of bees ready to attack. Thanks, Kate, because it's getting worse.
It's good. It looks good.
Yeah, it really does. I wonder if I move this closer.
Nope.
Will that help? No.
Nope. Further? Nothing's going to help.
No, it really, nothing is going to help right now. Nothing's
going to help. This is what podcast listeners listen for, though.
Right. It is for me playing around with my light.
The screen looks like behind one of us is really what engages the listener.
Oh, I shut it off. Right. All right. So here we go. Let's just jump into some shit. And if you see the swarm of bees coming and they attack the city of Philadelphia right now, don't worry about it. It's the cicadas. It's the cicada. We're an interactive show, Jack. It's the cicadas waking from their slumber.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Stop touching stuff. You're still touching stuff.
I really am. It's bucking the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Okay. Thank you. All right. So, big movie opening this weekend.
There is.
It's Godzilla vs. Kong is opening this weekend.
Yeah. It opened in China. I was really annoyed because I kept seeing that it opened Friday.
It did.
It did not in anywhere I could see it, unfortunately.
Nope. This is, I'm just not. Yeah. It's like, you know. So it opened to $70 million opening in China, and they expect it to hit about $122 million before it hits the U.S. this, what's it, like 3 days from now?
Yeah, it's Thursday, I think. No, it's the 31st.
31st.
So Wednesday it releases everywhere.
30 days, half September. Yeah, whatever.
Nope, there's just Wednesday.
Let's just say Wednesday. I'm excited. I actually really want to see this one.
Yeah, I would debate about going to the theater for this one. It's toss up.
Mm. No theater for me yet.
Well, although we open back up next month. Regal's back.
Look, dude, I'm an AMC guy because their pretzel bites are better.
It's fair.
It's the only reason, really. And, literally,
you
know, it's literally
you find three friends and rent the theater, and it costs the same as going by yourself.
Pretty much, it costs as much as getting pretzel bites and popcorn at the theater.
There you go.
I am excited. I did watch the most recent trailer. It was like a mashup, and it actually showed Mechazilla.
Oh, wow.
Turning on. So
okay.
So that's I'm excited for that. I was a big Godzilla fan when I was a kid. I was also a Kiss fan when I was a kid. So I don't know where my
teeth are. They're the same thing, really.
Yeah. Little Gojira.
Yeah. So with let me ask you this though, do you think they needed to show Mechazilla? Do you think there was anybody that was like, you know, I'm not going to go see this movie because it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And these fight scenes seem to be over the top. Yeah. But now they added Mechazilla. I'm going to go.
You know, because just having King Kong and Godzilla standing on an aircraft carrier throwing punches sold me. That alone sold me.
Yeah, it's everything that Rampage should have been.
Wasn't The Rock in The Rampage?
Was it a movie? Yeah, The Rock's in it.
Yeah, he is.
He's in every movie.
That's right, because he was friends with the white gorilla.
He was.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I played the video game.
Yeah, I played the video game too back.
Loved Punch and Bill.
A few years ago.
Yeah. So the IMDb page, their movie reviews for Kong vs. Godzilla is being bombed by Snyder Cut fans. And this is
WB property.
Yeah,
well,
it's
tied to them.
They want the WB to restore the Snyderverse, which I want to happen, but this isn't the way to do it. Like, you don't ruin it. And it's not having any adverse effect on the ratings whatsoever. But
no, and I think it's just you and Zach. And I don't think Zach even wants to restore the Snyderverse at this
point. No, I think he does now. I think he's covertly, quietly pushing this.
But they're not going to.
No, if you know what? If they do it on HBO Max, I'm okay with it. I don't want to go to the movies and sit.
Yeah, but none of those actors are going to. Well, Ray Fisher, whatever his name is, yes. He will sign up to go to HBO Max.
Ben Affleck would do it for Zack Snyder.
I don't know that he would. I really don't like the tack they were taking with Batman. The more I hear about the next two movies from that,
well,
the less and less I like it.
Yeah,
so you got to make it through three movies before you get a glimmer of hope. And a quote I heard the other day regarding the whole thing is kind of drilled out why I didn't like it. So if you're making a Superman movie, comic book movie that you can't take a 10-year-old to, right? Is it really worth putting Superman in a movie to be like this pinnacle of hope? Like, there's a video game already for bad Superman.
There is.
Right? Injustice. Fine. Yeah. Great storyline. As not as your canon, though. Like, you can't have your main comic book universe be this dystopian bad environment and then want to do all these other things off of it. I think that's where they ran into this problem with the Snyderverse. If you went with that bleak with everything, you can't build up this universe with all these and make all the money. Like, Marvel made all the money because everybody can watch them.
Right. And they were bright and colorful, and most of them were kid friendly. I mean, I don't
even
think
the ones that weren't. I mean,
I don't think there was an F-bomb in any of them, right?
They're all PG-13.
Yeah. Ass is the closest they really come.
I mean, you saw some parts in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure.
Too.
Sure.
Which that was fun to explain to the kids. But besides that, there's there's not. And there's violence, but it's never crazy over the top violence in them.
San Diego Comic-Con, as we know, is going to do a hijack. That's other Jack.
Yeah.
Jack McKinney, Jack.
Yeah, he's still watching Lost. He doesn't know where the plane landed.
Oh, Jack, they do get off the island, but it's purgatory. Spoilers. So San Diego Comic-Con is doing a in-person part of their Comic-Con, and they decided to schedule this over Thanksgiving weekend from November 26th to 28th.
It's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It is the busiest travel time of the year, normally. Now you're going to have all these people that are going to be most people will be vaccinated by then, if they choose. And they're going to be traveling all over the place. But to schedule Comic-Con that weekend? It's a family weekend.
Yeah, it's a very bizarre weekend to schedule it. And, you know, it's not just the people that go, you're expecting now all of these people to sign on to go be there and do panels.
Right. Right. You know, I didn't even think of that part. Of
right.
It.
Like, no, nobody wants to do a panel Thanksgiving weekend.
No.
Especially not at Comic-Con where whatever. You already know our movies are coming out. We're not announcing movies 3 weeks before Christmas.
No.
Like, plus, this is not how it works.
No. Plus, if you really want to know when the movies are coming out, listen to us. We'll tell you. See?
Exactly. That's what we should tell Comic-Con.
See how I slid that right in there?
We just need to tell San Diego to just come listen to us, and they'll know when the movies are going to be released.
That's it. Then that'll bump our listeners up. We'll go from thousands to millions.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Amazon Studios. They are going to make a spy comedy about the United States Postal Service. That in itself is just awesome.
Okay. So, is it going to star Borat?
No. It's going to start coming to America's Jeremy Fowler.
Okay, is that
so? He's going to star as a young man that finds out his mail carrier mother, who was recently killed, was actually a covert operative in the United States Postal Service's secret agency of spies.
That would explain a lot.
It would. Lots of mail not being delivered on time,
and more forgiveness, right? Yes. For what happened this Christmas.
Yeah.
Did was he the son?
Yes, he was the illegitimate son.
Okay, he's decent.
No, I did. I enjoyed him in that movie.
Yeah, I've heard he did a few other movies that I kept meaning to watch that I did not get to see.
I mean, they really, being a comedy, you got a lot of room to wiggle, but you have a lot of history you can go back to, and you can go all the way back to Ben Franklin with the post office. So you can really play around a lot and make it good.
Yeah, I mean, you
I
go
mean,
Pony Express route and you do all
yep.
the, you know,
Yeah.
you make it like the Kingsman where you go, hey, here's this backstory of this history, how
Oh, is
this.
that a good one? Is that a good movie?
Yeah, you saw it? No.
No,
No.
no.
Golden
There was what,
Circle.
one of them?
There's two. There's a third one coming out.
Oh. Elton John's in it.
Yes, he was.
He was.
He was great, actually.
So I heard. Paramount is developing a new Transformers movie that will take place separately from the main franchise. So, Marco
So, yeah.
Ramirez, who
Okay.
ran the Defenders TV show on Netflix,
Yeah.
will write the script, and Manuel Soda of Charm City Kings, which is another movie I have not seen, will direct it. So it's gonna not be a Shia LaBeouf movie, but or Michael Bay movie,
Or Mark Wahlberg.
or Mark
Shia
Wahlberg movie.
LaBeouf's been out for about 15, 20
Yeah,
years.
he's due for a comeback.
No,
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 I don't think
no,
so.
no, no.
No.
He had one. And then he did some bad things to bad people again, and now he's gone again.
Yeah.
He had that Peanut Butter Falcon that came out like last year
Gotcha.
that actually did pretty well, but he's gone again.
Sure, that was bad.
So, any other details on there? I mean, the Defenders is not the best resume for a writer
No.
for me to see. So maybe we'll get like an old Transformer buried under the ground, but just like spare parts to it.
I mean, I don't know where else they're going to go with it at this point. There's supposed to be another one connected to the main current storyline coming out, but I don't know if Mark Wahlberg and his generic character are attached to it.
I don't know if they have a main storyline anymore because,
Well,
like, Bumblebee was not tied to it at all.
a little bit.
Yeah, but that wasn't the Bumblebee that we had.
No.
You know,
But
in the,
I
I
mean,
mean, maybe it was, and
it
it was just
was
supposed to be a
because
retro.
they explained why he didn't talk in the other movies. So, and it was like him in the 80s.
Yeah, but I think they had a different reason for why he didn't talk in the other movies, didn't they?
I don't know. I thought it was his voice box
Yeah. I
got
thought
yanked.
I didn't think this was tied to the same one though, because I feel like at the end, no, because at the end of this movie, it had him rolling with the Transformers.
Right.
So it
Well,
messed that up. And yeah, Brett, yeah, Dinobots, they did do Dinobots in one of them though.
they did in the one with Stanley Tucci.
Yeah. Well, Stanley Tucci was in more than one, wasn't he? Or no, that was
No,
I'm thinking John, what's his name?
it was Age of Extinction, I believe. No.
Yeah.
Was it Age of Extinction or Last Night?
Not last night.
I don't remember them.
I think they were in Age of Extinction.
Like
Extinction.
after the first one, they all went like this to me.
They all get really bad. The first two were okay, and then once Wahlberg came in, it didn't make any sense anymore.
No. So The Last Starfighter, remember that movie?
I do. I love that movie.
Yeah, so there's a Last Starfighter 2 getting made.
What do we got? Do we have a
So
plot?
yeah, Brett, you're not missing out on them. If you really want to watch the Transformers, go back and watch the cartoons.
No, the movies are fun. Like, as long as you don't go in like, oh my God, I can't wait to have this revelation about Transformer movies, and you go in with, I'm just gonna watch Michael Bay make big stuff blow up and look cool. They're great.
But the
But you
all
have to go
spark.
in with that expectation.
But the all spark.
Yeah, well, the AllSpark, look. The WitWikis and the AllSpark
The
and
WitWikis.
yeah.
All right. So Gary Whitta is the co-writer of Rogue One.
Okay.
He is going to. He is involved in this, and the quote from him is, "The movie is on the 1 yard line. This movie won't be a reboot, but a sequel to hand it off to a new generation." Which makes me happy that it's not a reboot, although it would be nice to see what they could do with today's technology for a movie like that today.
Yeah, so are you going to make Alex, because he was the star, right? Are you going to make him like the general now and in charge of the armies?
You could do that. I did actually see this movie, by the way.
I'm glad you had time. It came out in what, 85, I think.
Yeah, it was. It's a long
for anyone that doesn't know the original premise of this movie, though, who's listening. So, The Last Starfighter came out in the 80s. It was a kid in like a podunk town, kept playing this video game that was at the gas station, and little did he know the video game was a test to join an intergalactic space force. And if you won the video game, you suddenly became part of the Starfighter Corps. Correct. And he won the video game and ended up in this huge space battle. Super fun movie.
Oh, it's a great, great movie.
And then it ends, you know, he wins the battle, but there's still a war, but he gets to bring his girl up with him at the end. And it's an 80s movie. That's how they all ended.
It is. I don't remember if there was a montage in it. There had to be a montage.
There was definitely a training montage.
There had to be a montage.
Yeah.
So that there's no. Yeah. So Armada is Ernest Cline. Brett just mentioned, if you like Last Starfighter, Armada by Ernest Cline, the guy that wrote Ready Player One.
Okay.
It is that book does definitely follow that. That's good. I didn't even think of that. That follows along the same track in a way.
And was that after?
Yes. This is his book. This was his. So he did Ready Player One. Then he did Armada. Then he mistakenly did Ready Player Two.
Right. I didn't hear great things about Ready Player Two.
No, Ready Player Two is not. It was a fun book, but it was a pointless book.
Ready Player Two is he saw that movie money and said, "Let me try and make that again."
Right. Let me see if I can get Spielberg. Let me just cram a bunch of pop culture references and wokeness into a book.
Oh, yeah, that always goes well.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. I would totally, totally, totally see The Last Starfighter 2.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it hits the right buttons, right? You take me back to the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, that's the same thing. All the we're at the age where the same things that we liked when we were young is all the same stuff that these guys making movies now liked when they were young.
Yes.
We're almost at the age where their dads liked this stuff when they were young.
Right? I'm gonna off book what I have written down because I got to get this out of my head now. I stopped today and I sat down for dinner and I'm done Parks and Rec, so I can't watch that unless I start it over.
Nope.
I was looking for something quick to watch, and The Flash is not quick because there's commercials and he's got to run for love and all that stuff. What I ended up watching on a whim was the first episode of the Mighty Ducks show.
Oh, Game Changers, right?
I hate Disney for this.
Is it that good?
I hate Disney for doing this.
Because you're hooked.
The Hawks are red and blue now.
Okay.
The Ducks are a darker purple, closer to black than purple, but they're still purple. Okay. It is exactly the same movie. It's the same. It's going to follow the same path. It's a bunch of kids that can't skate. It's a bunch of misfits that don't have the right equipment. It's a bunch of it's the freaking movie in a TV. It's expanded over the episodes. It was what it looks like. It's a grumpy Gordon Bombay who hates hockey. Spoiler alert. For anyone that's going to watch this, I will finish this, but I will complain every freaking week about it.
Now, how did they drop it? Did they drop it as a single episode?
Yeah, it's a single. It's a single.
Hey, Kimmy.
I don't know about Tarkov. I have not played Tarkov. It's a video game. It looks like. Okay, so thank you, Brett. Thank you. Brett also obviously watched this and is on my side for which is once. So I might record this that Brett and I are agreeing on something.
Maybe they're bringing you into hate watch so they can make you love it by the end.
I actually am hate watching it.
It'll like be now, the opposite of what most of the CW shows are for me now.
Right. I am definitely hate watching Mighty Ducks to review it every week and just tell you how much I hate what's going on. Because I can guarantee you they're all going to be one team at the end, and Gordon Bombay is going to be back behind the bench. There's going to be that one episode where all the old Ducks come back and teach the new ducks how to fly together.
Yeah, well, most aren't the old ducks were already in the...
There's a reunion episode, yes.
Yeah. I mean, Saved by the Bell had the reunion episode, too, where all four of them finally got together. They played as a band.
God. Just... Oh,
yeah. They called Lisa from France. It was good.
I'm hate watching it. So
that's good. You need a little bit of that.
There is the Gilmore Girls link. By the way, for all of our listeners out there, yes, Lauren Graham is the coach at the moment. The kid's mom, the main character.
Oh, she's for the coach.
He is the coach at the moment.
So she started a league because her kid wasn't good enough to play on the regular team.
She started a team because her son was kicked off of the Ducks.
Oh.
She started a team of misfits, and they only need 6 players to start a team and a coach that's over a certain age, like 21 or whatever. Let me just tell you what. You don't want to play Iron Man hockey. You don't want to start it that young. It's no fun.
Got it.
Not having subs sucks. Anyway. She's going to need Gordon's help, Bridget, and Gordon's going to give it to her in more ways than one. That's what they're setting this up for. He's not just going to give her help. He's going to love her.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I got a big road trip coming up. Maybe I'll have to get all the Mighty Ducks movies so that I can make the family watch them.
Yes.
And then we'll stream, you know, Game Changers next weekend.
The movies are good up until the knuckle puck.
Okay. I don't know if I want to know.
You'll be all right. You'll like it. You'll probably like it. At least the hockey movies. No, maybe not.
No.
Okay.
And I've had chances to watch them over the last 30 years, I suppose. But nope.
Goldberg. Okay. I'm done. Battlestar Galactica. The reboot.
This is ever coming out?
Michael Leslie has left the reboot. The head showrunner has left the reboot to work on a Margaret Atwood series on Hulu.
Didn't she only write The Handmaid's Tale?
I don't know.
And the sequel to The Handmaid's Tale?
I don't know. So it actually technically wasn't going to be a reboot. It was actually going to be a story within the current mythology. So it wasn't going to be a reboot per se, but maybe like another group of characters at the same time.
Right. So Michael Leslie, you said, I thought it was the guy that did, I thought it was Sam.
Witwer?
Witwicky? No. Sam that did iRobot. Sam Ismail.
No, they said Michael Leslie.
Hmm.
So he's gone. So now they might look for a new showrunner. They're not, it hasn't said.
Got it.
Yeah. So much for that. Although I really don't know if I want to watch another story in the mythology because it's about one ship. And unless they're going to take another like point of view from those ships that left, there's really not. I mean, everybody else died. Like the human race was eradicated.
But was this all of them? Yeah, it was Sam Ismail's running the new one.
Is he? Well, yeah. Michael Leslie's out. Maybe he's the head writer, not showrunner. Maybe I read that wrong.
Could be. Yeah, it was definitely Sam Ismail they brought in.
I was very busy today at work. So when I was writing this, I was kind of writing it on the fly.
No, that's fine. I just want to make sure we're giving the people the right info.
Your favorite, one of your favorite authors and mine.
Oh, I remember sharing this to you. Yeah.
Yeah. I had this on my radar, but George R.R. Martin has signed a 5-year HBO deal to give them 6 more Game of Thrones series.
We briefly touched on this, right?
We mentioned this about how there was a couple in the works. This was before this came out. Now he signed a 5-year deal with them. And so for all of my Game of Thrones fans that are out there that have been suffering and waiting for this next book to come out, that shit ain't ever coming out, guys and ladies. He's never releasing the next book.
No.
There's no way.
No.
I mean, you had the whole pandemic.
I did not go the book route with these.
Dude, yeah. I did, and I enjoyed it.
He's busy. He's writing footnotes to the new ones.
He's
and making shows out of them.
He made the just stop it. Go write a Mighty Ducks episode.
So yeah. So Michael Leslie was the head writer they brought in for Galactica.
Okay, so he left to go do this Margaret Atwood series on
Yeah, Hulu. So
they're going
to I would hope he had a writer's room built out. So I'd hope they keep whatever they were doing, possibly. I did look, and his resume is okay. Michael Leslie, you said he was the Defenders guy, right? No, that was something different.
That's right, Brett. Brett said they asked for the ending in case he didn't make it. He didn't make it to the end of the series, and now years later, they gave him a 5-year deal for 6 other series. Correct. Hopefully, he starts off with the endings for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm done with him.
It's fine. I'll take his ending over the other two guys.
Oh, please. Please. We'll have to spend a night going back over that.
Sure. Sure.
You know what we'll do? We'll do an in-between Marvel week, in-between Marvel series weeks. We'll pick one when
we don't have many weeks in between. So it's fine. It makes me nostalgic thinking about it. Cause when we first started podcasting together was the last season of Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, the college years. I like that.
Look, we all wanted to see the college years for Peter Dinklage's guy, for Tyrion. Oh, imagine his college years. Not Jaime's, because there was too much Cersei in Jaime's college years.
Yes, there were. yes, I would like to. I would like to go back over that series in a brief like.
Yeah, tell me about. Why don't we do Orphan Black or The Magicians, and then we'll do the Game of Thrones recap.
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll pick the shorter one of those.
That's
Sons of Anarchy?
Orphan Black.
Sons of Anarchy. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Don Cheadle. We love Don Cheadle.
We do.
I love Don Cheadle. He is going to narrate a Wonder Years reboot show.
Yeah, the cast has almost all been announced for the show.
I have that too. So they're going to change the show to the late 1960s in Alabama, which is interesting. So he will narrate the show as the adult version of Dean, the show's 12-year-old protagonist, portrayed by Elisha Williams. Don Cheadle joins a cast featuring Sykes Dulé Hill.
Love Dulé Hill. Right?
Yes, go Frank.
Well, and he may have been on the West Wing for a little while too.
Hello, cat. Broadway star Saquon Sangblo.
Sure, whatever. Okay. I don't have it in front of me.
Sengbloh, who will play Dean's parents. Newcomer Lara Kariuki, who plays Dean's older sister. The original series star Fred Savage and Saladin Patterson from The Big Bang Theory will serve as co-executive producers alongside Lee Daniels and Lee Daniels Entertainment. Okay, I'm in for it. I like the fact that they're going to do a different that style show, but at a different time period.
Yeah, it's also called The Goldbergs, and it's it's the same show. It's just The Goldbergs was in the 80s.
That I forgot to mention, but George Segal passed away.
He did. That is
sad. Sad. I liked him a lot.
And it was in surgery too. It wasn't like.
Yep.
It was from complications during surgery. It wasn't like he passed away peacefully or something. It was, he was still fantastic. I just watched one of the episodes he was on this season on The Goldbergs not too long ago.
Oh, he was great in The Goldbergs.
Yeah.
I always
screw up Batman on purpose because of him. I always call him Batman.
Who? Oh. Yes. The Invincible show that we touched on earlier, Kirkman said that the show could run for 7 seasons. He's got enough comic material to make it last at least 7 seasons.
For Invincible?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me. 100 issues.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first, they dropped the first 3 episodes. And
yes. Dude, I didn't look at the cast before, and I'm looking at the cast now.
It's unbelievable. And,
oh, my God. Just the first cast page alone. I'm going to – Sandra Oh. Eh. J.K. Simmons.
Yeah. Who's the one of the two main characters is J.K. Simmons.
Steve Yeun.
Yep, who was Glenn on Walking Dead. He is the main character. He's the superhero Invincible.
Zazie Beetz from Deadpool.
Yep.
Walter Goggins. Yeah. Walter
Goggins.
Goggins. I love him.
Clearly.
Yeah, I love him a lot. Do you know that actually he was supposed to die in the first episode of Justified, but they loved the chemistry between Timothy Oliphant and him so much that they kept him on?
Huh. I did know that he was supposed to be a one-off on Sons of Anarchy.
Yes, he was also. And they loved the character again so much.
And he completely made the character from scratch himself.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I first saw him in The Shield.
Which
is another phenomenal TV show. If you've never watched it and you like dark, gritty, like dark. Yeah. Jillian Jacobs from Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Yep. And it is. So I'll give a quick overview of Invincible, because I'll be honest with you. I watched the first three all Friday. The first one, I was not sure. I was halfway through and was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it.
Rafi's in it? Oh, crap.
Which one?
Rafi. Jason Mantzoukas.
He is. He is.
Rafi from The League.
His character is hilarious.
Or Dennis Feinstein from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, and he was also on The Good Place.
And The Unicorn.
He was fantastic on The Good Place.
That's his newest show.
That's Walter Goggins' new show. Yeah, it had a couple people from Ballers are on it.
Yeah, Zachary Quinto. Mark Hamill's in it.
Actually, I think there's three people from Ballers on that show, on The Unicorn, now that I think about it. So Zachary Quinto's on Invincible. Yeah, so Invincible, is the story is this. So it's kind of like a Snyder take almost on what the superhero world is like. So there's an alien that comes in all powerful, and he's like your Superman figure. He's called Overman. And it's about his kid and his kid coming of age. The first sets the stage for this and what the current status quo is for superheroes in the world and how the league of them interacts and the different characters. You get all the superpowers. A little bit of secret identity. You get some home life with the characters and things like that. And then you got to make it through at least the end of the first episode. It's The Boys meets the heavy metal cartoon from back in the day.
Okay. Meets
Walking Dead. Like, it's crazy. And there's no zombies, but I'm just saying in a format of how Walking Dead does things, it's all of those things rolled into one. Meets the Justice League.
I'll definitely watch this. Clancy Brown, Michael Dorn.
Yep. Oh, keep you can go.
Marsha Hala Ali's in it. John Hamm's in it. Well, John Hamm's got issues. Wait, is John Hamm that has issues?
John Hamm's fine.
No, who's the one that has issues?
It's hard to say.
Armie Hammer.
Oh yeah, no, we don't. Yeah, you can't.
Sorry, that's
you
the
can't
one.
Can't say his name even.
Nope.
It's like that's saying Logan. Deshaun Watson. You can't.
Who? Nope. Huh? Don't. This I'll definitely watch. I'll actually put this on this week and I'll poke into this.
Yeah, it's like I said, the first episode takes a little bit, and once you're through it though, it's a super fun ride so far.
Nice. That I'll definitely look at. Here's a show I won't be watching. The Ally McBeal revival is in the works. With Calista Flockhart as the only person in talks to return to her original role.
But you loved her as Cat Grant, so what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you get Harrison on here, huh?
Still Ralph Garman's.
Pew, pew.
Harrison Ford. Yeah. Nobody is. No streaming service has picked up the limited series revival, and no cast has been rumored or announced.
I mean, so, if you've seen Calista Flockhart lately, Shudder might be the best streaming service to pick it up. And bill it as like a Creepshow revival might be the right way to go with it.
I need a rim shot. I need a rim shot, Sam.
Good luck.
Yeah. So this is mostly just for you and I, but the Dungeons and Dragons TV show that is being currently developed is looking to spend time in the Underdark. That makes me happy.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I play somebody on TV that knows a lot about Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh.
But okay. I was an only child, so I didn't really play it. I played a lot more Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles role-playing game.
Gotcha.
And the DC Super Heroes role-playing game. And a little bit of D&D. Robotech, the role-playing game. A lot of Robotech.
That was just for me then. Cool.
Yeah.
That was me. Before we get into other shit real fast, I'm going to run down really fast here the 10 best performances from Quentin Tarantino's movies according to Variety.
Oh, because they're the...
I mean, it's better
they're the ones to go to.
better than Screen Rant, right?
All right, what do you got? I think I'm caught up on my Tarantino. So,
all right, number 10, Walter Goggins from The Hateful Eight.
Okay.
He was he played Chris Mannix.
I know.
Kerry Washington in Django Unchained at 9.
Okay.
Hilda Von Schift. Like that name.
That was the one I did not see out of his 9 movies so far.
I have not seen either of those two yet. Michael Madsen at number 8.
For
Reservoir Dogs.
No.
Mr. Blonde.
Way above 8.
Yeah.
It's one of the most iconic movie scenes of all time. You can't put him at 8 for that.
Mm-hmm. The scene that proves it, it says Stuck in the Middle with You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 7, Uma Thurman from Pulp Fiction. Number 6, David Carradine from Kill Bill Volume 2.
I'd put Uma above it. Was he was barely in 2, wasn't he?
I
feel like he was in 1, but I feel like he was barely in 2.
Number 5, Pam Grier from Jackie Brown.
She was all right.
We'll see if Christopher Walken makes the list, Brett. I'm only at 4 now.
I mean, I got at least 6 more from Pulp Fiction that should be on the list before any of the ones they've listed so far. So
Melanie Laurent from Inglourious Bastards.
She was good.
Yeah, she played Shoshana Dreyfus slash Emmanuel Mimieux.
Yeah, I mean, there was some really good performances in that movie, and she was one of the strongest ones.
Okay, number 3, Leo. For Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
He was horrible.
Yeah, he's number 3.
I mean, that movie wasn't good to begin with.
He's number 3 according to Variety. Number 2, Christopher Waltz in Inglourious Bastards.
No, so this means we're missing out on
a lot of
at least 3 from Pulp Fiction.
Uh-huh.
And at least I'd go 2 from Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. Do you want to take a stab? I'll give you 2 guesses at the stab at number 1.
It's Variety. It's going to be Samuel Jackson from Pulp Fiction.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
no, Bruce Willis was great in Pulp Fiction.
And Travolta, that revitalized his entire career.
Yep. Not even on the list. Not even in the top 10.
Yeah.
Let alone
yeah.
Christopher Walken and the Hunk of Metal.
Yeah. And Tim Roth.
Mm-hmm.
Not in that, but in Reservoir Dogs.
Leo in Django was better than Leo in Once Upon a Time. There you go.
I had Django on my DVR for about 3 years, and then I moved. and I still haven't gotten back to it yet.
So before we move into other stuff, everything that's coming to HBO in April.
Good stuff.
I'm not going to read that because that's way longer than I thought it would be.
No, the big hits are Mortal Kombat's coming up in 2 weeks.
I'm actually really looking forward to that.
Yo, and Keitel. Absolutely, yep. Brett.
No Harvey Keitel at all on Variety's
list. The Wolf.
Guess who I'm not going to use for top 10 lists anymore?
Variety.
Yeah, we'll have
that's
to
a good call.
Yeah. The New Mutants will be added on April 10th.
Yeah, how funny is that, right? Oh. So HBO, that's the whole reason it wasn't really, they had to release it in movie theaters.
Uh-huh.
Because the streaming rights weren't with Disney or Fox because all of Fox's properties had an exclusivity clause with HBO as their first streamer.
Yep. So Godzilla vs. Kong comes out in a couple days. The HBO Max original Made for Love comes out on April 1st. That stars the awful mom from How I Met Your Mother and Ray Romano.
Yeah, but she's also part of the Andy Samberg movie from last summer, Palm Springs, which was fantastic.
Gotcha. I'm just sorry. I'm still let down by that reveal.
Well, but was it really her?
Yeah, she was the mom.
Was it? Are you sure it wasn't Robin?
No, she was the mom, but he ended up with Robin. Spoilers 10 years later.
Yeah, so
she actually birthed the children.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I remember.
Okay.
But then Robin raised him.
Right.
After Barney was done with her.
Correct, when Barney got tired. Yeah. The Nevers is instantly available on streaming. It's a Joss Whedon
we don't say his name. But anyway, it's Superheroes in the Renaissance. Like, it's supposedly very good.
Yeah.
It's his best work in years, apparently.
It'll be his last work in years, too, if things keep going the way they're going.
100%.
Godzilla vs. Kong, Mortal Kombat, and Mayor of Easttown.
Okay.
I am extremely excited to see Mortal Kombat.
Well, you love you some Jimmy Olsen. Mikad Brooks is your boy. I know you're waiting to see him.
Waiting. Over on the Star Wars side of things, I only have one little thing for Star Wars there. Obi-Wan starts filming soon.
Next month, really.
And they filled out the cast. The 10 new people were announced in the cast. We got Ewan McGregor, obviously.
Yeah.
Hayden Christensen. I don't know why. I don't get it.
Absolute waste.
Moses Ingram.
Yeah, I looked through the list. I don't know most of the people they cast.
Joel Edgerton. I know him. Bonnie Pixick. You want to say his last name for me?
Oh, Kamal Nanjiani, right?
Yep. Yeah. Indria Varma.
He's Rupert also in Friend. The Eternals, which comes out soon.
He is. O'Shea Jackson Jr., Sung Kang, Simone Kessel, and Benny Safdie. Sorry, my glasses. I'm looking at a smaller screen. So they rounded the cast out. Oh, and Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen will be back from the original. Not the original, but from the prequel.
The characters. The ones from the prequel?
Yes, the ones from the prequel.
So that's weird, right?
Right. Oop, nope. Still playing with it.
I don't know if they've aged as well as Ewan McGregor.
Well,
so I guess we'll find out.
She's fresh out of the Nixium cult. She was in the Nixium cult for a while. The girl that played. Yeah, she was in Nixium.
Oh, is that is it Chloe?
It's not Chloe.
Oh, okay.
I don't think. Oh, look. Black Adam got a release date.
Mm-hmm.
July 2022.
Getting less and less excited about this movie.
Yeah. Do you want me to pull up the cast for
No, there's one addition.
Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan is Dr. Fate.
Yep. Dr. Old.
I understand the voice, but I don't understand casting him as the actor. If you remember Dr. Fate from some of the other times they've done him in live action, like Smallville.
That's the one I remember the most.
Not physically imposing at all.
No, he was like a weak little.
But I mean the character. So the character of Dr. Fate wears that crazy gold helmet that you saw teased in
Anka.
The Ankh is his symbol, right? Where he dissolves it because he, Shazam, and Black Adam were all contemporaries along with Hawkman in ancient Egypt.
Gotcha.
So the protectors of Egypt were Naboo and Teth Adam and Shazam.
Where back in the day. Came from?
Yes, sure. So they were the protectors. So Dr. Fate's been around that long, and then this, the helmet is inhabited by Naboo's spirit down the road.
Gotcha.
And that's who this is playing. But he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. And I really don't get what they're doing with the story. I mean, I feel like we're going to spend a lot of time in ancient Egypt, but then they have modern day characters.
Right.
So they're going to try and they're going to do what DC keeps doing, which is what kills me about DC and these movies anymore. They're going to try and take 70 years of comic book history and build up and cram it into like 2 hours.
So The Rock gets to spend another movie in ancient Egypt.
Yeah, I love how they keep casting him to play Egyptian character. But that's okay. He's the only one allowed to do it, you know, to play against type.
Yeah.
I want to be excited about that movie, and I keep being less and less excited about it.
Yeah. So we're going to slide over to Marvel to start to wind it down.
All right.
No Way Home has wrapped filming. The Spider-Man jaunt. What appears to have happened, though, is in the wrap gifts, the wrap gift seems to hint at Andrew Garfield's return. Jordan Foster tweeted a picture of the wrap gifts, which seemed to show a T-shirt with Garfield's Spidey suit on it.
Yeah.
It was quickly deleted, but it's still out there if you really want to find it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not really a shock to say that Andrew Garfield would show up as Spider-Man.
No. Okay. Is there anybody that didn't know that he was going to show up as Spider-Man at this point?
More of a shock would be that they actually paid Tobey Maguire the money he asked for to be in it.
Right. Which if they didn't... I mean, you can grab some dude off the street and tell him Tobey Maguire. Nobody will know.
No. Just put him in a black suit and have him dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
They could actually get Topher Grace and say he's Tobey Maguire. And nobody would know.
No, they probably could. Donna! So Captain Marvel 2 starts filming in May in both Atlanta and London and is slated for a November 11th, 2022 release at this time.
That's coming out 4 months after Black Adam?
So I'm going to pull that up real fast before we go on because Ant-Man 3 is filming from May to September. And the rumor is that that's going to slide into the October 2022 release date, which means you're going to have Marvel movies. A lot of Marvel movies.
Well, and you have some, you're going to have Marvel and DC back to back there over and over again, right? I would appreciate two lighthearted movies to get us over all the other humps going in there, right? Because if you have Ant-Man and Shazam, though, I think the kids that starred in Shazam, first one are in their 30s now, right? Might have hit 40 by now.
They may have, and yes, it is still Brie Larson as Captain America, whatever.
Well, wait, Captain Marvel 2.
Captain Marvel 2.
I would say because Shazam is actually
right.
Captain Marvel.
So before we go to our Falcon and Winter Soldier discussion for the end, according to this article off of Rotten Tomatoes from 3 days ago, Black Widow's coming July 9th. Wait, wasn't that moved?
No, it's July now. It was May.
Okay, so it's July 9th, 2021. Then Loki on June 11th. Then Shang-Chi in September of this year, September 3rd. Then the Eternals in November.
When did you say Loki?
Loki is, it says June 11th.
Okay. So that's a month before Black Widow. So we'll be in the middle of Loki when Black Widow comes out.
Right. And then so we don't have anything Marvel from June to September. Loki, but.
And What If, right?
And What If, but Shang-Chi is September 3rd. Eternals is a month later, or 2 months later, on November 5th.
Okay.
Then Spider-Man is in December, right at the 17th.
It's crazy how fast they can turn around effects for the Spider-Man movies, isn't it?
Well, they just finished filming, so yeah.
Right, that's only...
Right. What If months. Just has 2021, Hawkeye's 2021... Miss Marvel's late 2021. Doctor Strange, now we're in the next year, is March 25th. So there's a lot. So it's March for Doctor Strange.
Right.
May for Thor in 2022. Right. Then She-Hulk in 2022. Panther in July 2022.
I don't see that happening. But
Deadpool is, this says October 7th, 2022, but that'll be Ant-Man.
There's no way they're going to have Deadpool done that fast. No. Ryan Reynolds has 75 other movies he's obligated to film before that.
Right. And then November 11th, 2022 will be Captain Marvel 2. So they're so like,
do you think we get Free Guy 2 before we get Deadpool 3?
His tweets about Free Guy are awesome.
I can't wait for it. It looks amazing.
Yep. So this has February 17th, 2023 as Ant-Man, but I think that will flip with Deadpool if you're going to get Deadpool that early.
Yeah, I don't see Deadpool coming that quick.
No, and then the rest of it's blah 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 stuff that we don't care about.
Means we're still at least 3 years away from Fantastic Four.
Yep. Yeah,
it's a long time.
But they introduced the engineer in.
Oh my god! You guys and your conspiracy theories for WandaVision.
Let's go conspiracy theory. Let me change my background. Brett, thanks for hanging. He left. He hasn't caught up yet. Let me go with this picture today. I like this one. Look at this one. It's a nice one, isn't it?
That's a good one. I like. Who are you blocking? Anybody good or nobody?
No, I'm not blocking anybody. Right. I found one with nobody in between them.
Nice.
It's about the first time.
I figured it was the little girl from Solo would be in between.
Oh, no. All right. So what did you think?
I mean, the show's fantastic. It's really well done. The lore that they're bringing in from Marvel is great with the the side we didn't see of the Super Soldier program, and starting to dig into that. I'm not sure what they're doing with the Flag Smasher still, because I don't feel like they're bad guys.
Yeah.
I feel like it really depends on how you look at them, because I don't see these kids as like bad guys per se, the way that they're presenting them. So I feel like what's going to happen is we're going to see a turnaround where Bucky and Sam end up having their backs and continue to go against the government that's now trying to shut down these people.
Okay. I really like the fact that they're digging in to real world stuff. Like, again, we're totally going to spoil the hell out of this. So if you haven't watched it, you know, apologies, or just come back later and listen to us on the podcast part and rewatch the show.
And then rate us 5 stars.
And then rate us 5 stars.
Good talk.
The scene where they were in Baltimore arguing in the street and the cops pulled up was, I mean, that's real world shit that they're doing now. And I really like how grounded, like, it's a superhero show, but it's really, they're really grounded it in reality.
And how great, though, was they turned it and arrested Bucky.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I do. I loved it. Funny, Wyatt Russell auditioned for Captain America in Phase 1. I just saw that today. Yeah. Yeah. He once auditioned for Steve Rogers.
I mean, how old was
Phase 1?
Yeah, but how old is Wyatt Russell?
Wyatt Russell, let's see. Who can Google faster?
He's 34. So he would have been
in his 20s.
Like 22, 23?
I mean, how old's Chris? Chris Russ?
Chris Evans is 39.
Chris Evans is... Oh, you're really on the money with that. So they're not that far apart.
I type really fast. He's going to be 40 in like three months, Chris Evans. So, well, 6 years is a lot when you're talking about...
True.
Are you 20 or are you 30 when you're going in? Now... So I need more backstory on the character John Walker and how they're doing that and Battlestar, which, if you remember last week and you were watching, we showed the picture of Captain America and Bucky. Uh-huh. So there was a point when Bucky, who's Lamar, I forget the last name, Haskell, I believe, where he's trotted out and it's Captain America and Bucky, and he goes, look.
Hoskins.
Is Lamar Hoskins?
Yeah, Hoskins.
Where he's like, hey, because in the comic books, Bucky's wasn't the Winter Soldier. He was actually Captain America's sidekick and younger than Captain America. So he was like a little kid that was Captain America's sidekick.
Right.
So in the comics, the reason he turns into Battlestar is he may have had issues with pretending to be a little white boy from the 1940s, was how he phrased it.
Gotcha.
So why don't we make me into a man and my own self instead of calling me Bucky still? So I'm glad they cut that part out.
Right.
Oh, well, that's a nice little bot in the Twitch chat.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to buy followers.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's, I appreciated that and bringing in the Battlestar piece. I don't understand how they're holding their own against super soldiers.
That, yeah, I was like,
because Falcon definitely can't hold his own.
No. And I mean, I like the training montage of him throwing the shield, but man, if you miss that thing, you're screwed.
Like, oh yeah.
That thing's coming back at you really. And they didn't show that he had them little magic bracelets on.
Magnets. No,
no, he was just catching it straight. So he's not. So John Russell isn't he's not a super soldier. He's just an all-American tough guy.
So far that we know of. Okay. We don't know, right?
Okay.
That's what I want to see, because the written version was the whole crew got super soldier formula. He and his buddies, who were all friends, got
so
it.
So they're kind of, with this guy, they're kind of taking the same arc with this guy that they took with Steve Rogers originally, making him a propaganda tool. Mm-hmm. At the moment, and only letting him actually go out and fight, whereas Steve Rogers originally was kept to do dance numbers before he took it upon himself to go do it.
Right, and if we go back, Captain America was only back for maybe 2 years.
Yeah,
right. Because then he was, and they never called him that, but then he was Nomad when he gave up his shield in Civil War.
Right.
right? Which was only maybe 2-3 years after he came back.
Yeah.
And but now it's been 8 years since there's been a Captain America.
Right.
Or 6 years. Six.
And now there's action figures. He was signed in action figures of himself. I enjoyed the big three conversation that you got in the trailer. I enjoyed that a little bit longer.
Oh, it was even better when they brought it up at the end. So it was one of the big three.
Yeah.
And Lamar was like, yeah, it's one of the big three.
Call it back to it.
Do you guys have a class where you learn about the big, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And the Bucky throwing it in his face that he read Tolkien in 1937 when it first came out. That was funny. Bucky, I'm looking at the little Marvel Easter eggs things. When Falcon jumped out of the plane, it was kind of like when Captain America did in the Winter Soldier, when he kind of jumped out of the plane. Bucky got, they called him the White Wolf. He called himself the White Wolf.
Well, they called him the White Wolf in the epilogue to what movie was that?
Yeah, when they walked out with the arm, right? No.
When they went to give him the arm in the end of Black Panther. It was second cutscene of Black Panther.
Right.
They brought him out to give him his new arm.
Because Falcon called him something weird.
White Bear or something like
white
that.
White Bear, and he's like White Wolf.
White Panther. He called him White Panther.
White Panther, that's it. So the lead Flag Smasher was that girl?
Yeah, it was the girl from Solo.
Oh yeah, okay.
I mean, like I said, it's I'm intrigued to see what they do with the Flag Smashers, because they don't seem like the bad guys. If they're stealing from government to give medicine to struggling areas and struggling people, like, I don't see where that makes them the bad guys. And I don't think it would in Bucky and Sam's eyes, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you're setting up the conflict, a legit conflict between Captain America and Battlestar and Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be, and I think the Flag Smashers will be in the middle, is where you're going to go with this. I am intrigued to see what we do with Isaiah. That was a fantastic turn.
A little,
by Carl Lumley.
Yep. They brought up the Steel and the Shield thing, which was funny.
Yeah.
There's an entertaining scene in which Falcon insists his name is not Black Falcon. That was actually pretty funny.
That was good too. The humor in this episode, the writing was great.
Yeah.
Between that,
here it is. Isaiah Bradley, the first Black Captain America in the comics. That was an awesome, awesome, awesome callback.
Right. And it's that comic series. I think it was Truth, Justice, the American Way. It's recent. It's not that old.
Right.
But they introduced it as, so they introduced it as, he was Captain America, but because, you know, the government, back in World War II and just in general, wouldn't have started doing testing on kids like Steve. That wouldn't be where they started. You know, where the storyline actually ties it back to the Tuskegee Airmen tests.
Yep, that's what.
And those pieces, and then, you know, bringing Isaiah Bradley, and it looks like Isaiah Bradley's, they're going to base that as later, because the problem with the way comic books were written and what we have to do in reality to set this in 2023, right, is you can't say, well, he's been around, he's 110 years old,
right?
You know, the Bucky and Steve, because you froze him, but so you're going to say he was in the Korean War, so you're going to give him a few more years, so he's only like 80, 90, right, is where they're going to bring him in. He was around in the 50s.
Yep.
Where they kept trying to master the formula.
And this says the super soldier experiments were set up by the Incredible Hulk, the movie.
Yeah.
General Ross kind of pushed Banner to create this.
Well, to recreate.
Recreate.
That's where the Hulk gamma radiation came from, because, and they used gamma radiation to get the super soldier formula to react. Like, that's how the chemicals that they put in the system in the super soldier serum, you use gamma radiation to trigger it.
Okay.
And that's how the Hulk ended up getting infused with gamma radiation, was trying to do that.
This says it's a blink and you'll miss it appearance. by a teenager named Elijah Bradley.
Right, which is the grandson of Isaiah Bradley, who is the one answering the door.
He's the one that becomes the superhero Patriot in the Young Avengers, which obviously Marvel is definitely setting up a Young Avengers. Do you think that this was a bit cameo, or is this maybe something that they're going to sprinkle on down the line?
Oh, they're not done with Isaiah Bradley.
Okay.
I mean, in this show, like, yeah. I 100% see Sam going back.
We only have 4 episodes left.
Yeah.
Right? And you haven't even seen Sharon Carter yet, which I assume you will next episode.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, we know she's gone rogue.
Yeah, and she has a better arc.
Maybe.
Well, they forgave Bucky. Wouldn't they forgive her, you think, at this point? They would have to give her a pardon, right? Wouldn't they?
Her parole.
True.
That's and going through government-mandated therapy.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, he kind of had a reason, right?
Yes.
She just went rogue. Like, I don't know. They'll tell us. We'll see.
Yeah. The Power Broker?
Yeah, those characters, yeah, were in the books. They were, another terrorist group. Which it seems like it's going to be the Power Brokers against the Flag Smashers is another...
Right.
Another, we're getting on this, right? Because it was the Power Brokers that were coming to stop the Flag Smashers.
Right. And then the end of the episode kind of leans off on, we're going to go see Zemo and talk to him about the serum, which is going to lead to Zemo getting out of jail. Unless Zemo's setting this all up ahead of time and this is all part of his plan. At the very, very end, there's a quick little Star Wars Easter egg. Zemo's cell number is 2187.
Oh, yeah.
That would be Princess Leia's cell number for anyone that does not remember. Overall, I thought, look, I liked WandaVision, but I think this is better.
Oh, I can 100% see why this was supposed to be the first one.
Yeah.
Like, it's more action. I mean, the scene on the truck, and I even while I was watching, I was like, you know, this action scene is better than anything they had in Wonder Woman 1984.
Yes. And you
like
can
this
see
truck scene, if this was the truck scene that we had in that movie, I would have gone in. I would have been like, this movie's fine.
And you could see it all.
Yeah. And it was in daylight, right? That's the point I keep driving home with this DC crap. Like, it kills me. Yeah. I want to be able to watch my movie.
the truck scene was sensational. It was amazing. If you watched this first though, and then watched WandaVision, would WandaVision be a letdown compared? Like, what doesn't it play out better that you watched WandaVision first and then you're kind of like, I mean, WandaVision wasn't a low, but going from this show to WandaVision would have been a kind of a tick backwards a little bit.
Yeah, but I think that would have been okay because this was supposed to be coming off of Black Widow.
Right.
And then we were going to have the Eternals.
Right. Right.
And then you were going to have WandaVision, which you would have had no expectations for the same way we didn't, because you would have just had the Eternals where you were like, I have no idea what I just watched.
Right.
And then you would have got WandaVision to bring you back.
And then it would have led right into Doctor Strange.
It was the original plan, right?
Right. Which everything would have then made a lot more sense continuity wise.
Right. The arcs would have been way better. So I'm intrigued to see if we get different end credit scenes because of all these shifts now with the TV shows.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's all I got.
Cool.
I mean, I'm excited for, I don't know when the next Mighty Ducks episode drops. I can't wait to hate watch that.
Disney's a Friday channel. Yeah. Friday company. They drop all their stuff on Friday. So you can binge.
I can.
Falcon and Winter Soldier and the Mighty Ducks.
What I can do is I can wait until tomorrow night is over. Then Wednesday, back-to-back Flash, back-to-back Superman to set myself up for the... No.
Sounds painful.
It does sound painful.
Speaking of that, Batwoman continues to get better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
It's not bad now. It's not good still, but it's not bad. It's better than nobody's running to love. I'll tell you
no,
that.
No. No. You did see that the stakes have never been higher for Supergirl, right?
I did. Yeah.
Never been higher.
No, I think it's back this week, right?
It is. Yeah, I think Superman and Lois is on a hiatus, so I can catch up on that. Not a high bar though. No. But definitely high stakes.
No, but I we're going to be reminded when that show comes back of how many characters they wasted that would have been fantastic against Tyler Hoechlin Superman.
Like Lex Luthor?
Like all of them.
Yeah. One
it would have been better against Tyler Hoechlin Superman than they were against her.
You mean better than Lois's dad as his soon-to-be arch-nemesis?
Well, let's talk about the fact that we already met Lois's dad.
I know.
When Jenna Dewan, which do we get Jenna Dewan Tatum back now? Or no, Jenna Dewan?
No, Tatum. But
do we get her back as Lois's little sister at some point?
No, she's busy dancing on Instagram raising her kids.
Come on, that'd be great.
She's living her best. I wouldn't complain at all.
And I also don't buy Jimmy as having hung out with these two ever.
No.
Like they blew Jimmy off.
Yeah, they right? seem. They don't seem. No, they don't seem like. The hang out and like have fun kind of people.
Yeah.
She's too serious.
And I don't buy Jimmy as being her photographer.
No, absolutely not. He'd mouth off to her.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Ah, I know one person is not returning for the final season of Supergirl is Christopher Woods is not going to make a reappearance as Mon-El.
That's fine.
Well, somebody's, gotta stay home. No, he's on another show.
Carl Lumby's gonna be back.
Who?
Isaiah Washington. Do you think he's gonna be back? Isaiah Bradley. Do you think he's gonna be back?
What, Falcon?
No. On Supergirl.
Wait, the guy from Falcon and the Winter Soldier was on Supergirl?
That's John Johns's dad. That's the Martian Manhunter. The original. Shit.
Oh, no.
And the voice of Martian Manhunter in every cartoon for the last 25 years.
Oh, crap. No wonder that voice sounded so familiar. Wow. Good thing I have a show about this.
All right. Well, you have plenty of time to catch up.
I do have plenty of time to catch up. But so thank you all for sticking around. And if you're coming back around from the podcast side of things, to listen in later because you are catching up on Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Thank you for coming back and listening and going to iTunes and doing the 5-star thing. Only 5.
Yeah.
Four doesn't work. Less. Nah, 4 doesn't work. 3 doesn't work. Only positive comments work. If you want to negatively talk about it, send me a private message. I will happily listen.
Frank enjoys them.
Yeah, I like that. But thank you. Jack, you have it's gigging times coming, right? Like you got
it's coming up. I got a light weekend with the holiday coming up this weekend, and then I got
Oh crap! It's Easter this week.
It's yeah. So happy Easter and Passover to anybody that just had that. So yes. I got plenty of stuff coming up this month. I'm at Blue Bar Company. I'm at the Alley on High Street in Pottstown. I got a few dates at Crossroads Tavern in Perkasie. So you can find all that at jackkidmusic.com.
I might start streaming video games now that I have a souped up computer.
All right, that'd be great too, huh?
Probably not. Maybe I'll just stream me watching Sons of Anarchy.
You should do that when you're done.
Orphan Black, that's the one. All right. We said it enough times tonight that it's in my head.
Fantastic.
So thank you everyone for chilling out and hanging out with us. And thank you for finding your G-spot. And ours as well.
Wow. See y'all next week.
Yeah, see you next week, guys.